This IBA podcast considers some of the major human rights and rule of law issues following the election of new US President Donald Trump. The president-elect has stated that he will support the use of torture as part of counter-terrorism operations, and that he will reverse plans to close the Guantanamo Bay detention camp. Discussing what a Trump presidency could mean for human rights and rule of law are David Schaefer, US Ambassador at Large for War Crimes from 1997 to 2001, Juan Mendez, United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, and Corey Kreider, Director of Reprieve's Abuses and Counterterrorism Team from 2009 to 2016. We begin with David Schaefer, former US Ambassador at Large for War Crimes.
The United States should not be endorsing, condoning, acquiescing in the commission of atrocity crimes by US officials. I mean, I don't know how you could rationalize that. How do you rationalize, for example, a military commander deciding someday, I'm now going to institute a widespread campaign or operation of torture against 100 people today, but I want immunity from that. No, I'm afraid you cannot have immunity from that. Now, the fix with the ICC is, the ICC would first say to the US government, are you investigating this? Is this individual being investigated? And if the US government is saying, oh no, we don't think it's part of our job to investigate someone who has just orchestrated the torture of 100 prisoners of war somewhere in his military capacity, he shouldn't be investigated. That's not part of what we do in America. Are you kidding? You bet that's what we do in America. And if we're not doing it, we have a problem to solve in our society. When a presidential candidate like Donald Trump just blatantly says, let's start up the torture machine again, let's keep it running through Guantanamo, let's do worse than waterboarding, I would say that, well, then I think you will need to be scrutinized. If those are your instructions to the US military and to others, then you as a leader will frankly need to be scrutinized with respect to whether or not you're in compliance, not only with international law, but quite frankly, US law and military law. US leaders, military commanders have said they would not comply with an order like that from a President Donald Trump. They say that we would be violating US law if we did that. We're not going to do that. And in fact, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, even recently, within the last 3 or 4 months, said, no, we're not going to comply with orders of that character. But here you have a presidential candidate saying, oh, well, let's do it. Well, if you follow through on that representation, then I'm not going to sit here and say you should be immunized from investigation. No, I think you should be investigated.
Juan Mendez, UN Special Rapporteur on Torture.
The public discourse, not only in the United States, but in the United States especially because of the presidential campaign, tends to persuade us in the public that perhaps torture is inevitable, that perhaps somebody has to do it. It may be ugly, but it keeps us safe. And so fighting against that weakening of the consensus of the moral condemnation of torture is perhaps our greatest challenge. It's very difficult to, shame states into not torturing anymore when the public, doesn't demand torture, but it does expect it and it doesn't object to it, at least not as strenuously as we once did before 2001. I think 9/11 was a turning point, not so much because of the practices of the George W. Bush administration, that of course had a lot to do with it, and now the threats that we hear from Donald Trump about bringing back torture, but also because I think the culture, I mean the popular culture generally, has persuaded us that it's okay if policemen torture the bad guys, or if it's not quite okay, at least it's okay because it keeps us safe, or it results in solving crime, etc. And you know, just persuading, having a rational discussion about not only the immorality and illegality of torture, but also the fact that it doesn't work, that it actually exacts cost from society that really does not justify whatever immediate gain we may get from torturing somebody, is, I think, the greatest challenge that we have.
Yes, because certainly recent polling in the US has shown, I think, something like 60%, I'm not sure what the sample was, but 60% of US citizens believe that torture is appropriate in certain scenarios in order to protect the public in terms of the so-called war against terror. But presumably from your position, torture would never be justified.
No, it's never justified, and it's clearly illegal under U.S. law, under international law, under the laws of every single state. There's no justification for it. It's there's no emergency, no special situation that even leaves a little opening for some practices. I mean, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence report proved that a lot of the claims that the CIA made about how they had prevented attacks, etc., because they tortured people, were completely wrong. Were not only wrong, they were fallacious, they were mendacious. If governments let or look the other way when some of their agents torture, they create a cascade of illegality and of corruption and of the public losing trust in their institutions. The public may fear their institutions, but they won't trust them. And so the lack of trust also makes the work of the law enforcement institutions and of the justice institutions harder rather than easier.
Corey Kreider, director of Reprieve's Abuses and Counterterrorism team from 2009 to 2016.
What Donald Trump says is that he would do worse than waterboarding, even if it doesn't work, because they deserve it. You know, everything that Trump says is a kind of pastiche of, you know, a kind of Jerry Bruckheimerized, you know, action movie version of the president, as opposed to a real policy prospectus. But that said, it seems pretty clear that we have to take him at his word. The space that has been cleared away for, frankly, Islamophobic statements and policies and lines in the United States is huge now. It's absolutely massive. Republicans in Congress will continue to seek to stymie releases of years cleared men who were never any threat to anybody from Guantanamo Bay. They will resist strenuously and for nakedly partisan reasons any effort to shut down the prison. So yes, it is going to be difficult. It is going to be very, very difficult. One of the reasons I think that, let's say, progressives and Democrats have not been harder on the president about issues like failing to get it done with respect to Guantanamo, no accountability for torture, and dramatically expanding a program of drone strikes is, I think they just think, well, this is as progressive a president as you are likely realistically to get for some decades, and if he can't do it, then perhaps it can't be done. I don't know whether that's so, but certainly what it's had the political effect of doing is normalizing this sense of a kind of permanent war footing. And there's no sense in which that anybody really wants to kind of step back and fundamentally reconsider the wisdom of the way that we've pursued the policies.